Two things. First thing is, in both of those readings, the first reading about Moses and the gospel reading about Jesus, there's this outpouring of the Spirit of God that is absolutely infinite. But in our humanness, sometimes we're worried or threatened that the Spirit might not be enough. You know, when parents have more than one child, they don't divide their love into two or three or four. Their hearts enlarge. Well, God is infinite. So there is no division of the Spirit. In a few minutes, we're going to anoint Isaac with the Holy Spirit. And that isn't going to take anything away from the Spirit that's already been given to us. There's always plenty. Second point. Jesus talks about cutting off your hand if it causes you to sin, or your foot or your eye. Really strong, hyperbolic language. So what does he mean by that? It's the spiritual tradition of the church from the early desert fathers all through the spiritual theologians of the Middle Ages, John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, and even in modern times, Thomas Merton in the 20th century. And they all talk in similar language about three basic phases or processes through which one becomes spiritually mature. And the first stage is purgation. The second stage is illumination. And the third stage is unification. So the first one is purgation, to purge oneself of whatever is impure, to purge oneself, one's life, from those habitual sins, those things that create a kind of a blockage or a deflector shield so that the love of God cannot penetrate us as powerfully as it should. Or the love that we experience from others or that we give to others gets somehow muddled and shaded by that deflector. So we need to purge ourselves from those things. The word purgatory comes from the same idea, to purge ourselves of those sins. The second phase, once we've gotten rid of those blockages, then we're open to illumination by God. God can penetrate our hearts and our minds and illumine us with the truth about his love and about salvation and about our eternal destiny to be with God forever. And then there's the third stage, which is unification. And that's the, you might say, the final stage of spiritual enlightenment. Because the Christian life, indeed all human life, has one goal, and that's to be with God, to be united with God forever. But that's not just something that's in the distant future realized kingdom. Jesus is always saying the kingdom is now, the kingdom is at hand, it's available. So that unification that God desires for us and that is our destiny, it's already available to us. And one of the ways we celebrate that is here in the Eucharist, because we call this Holy Communion, don't we? It's union, communion with ourselves in Christ. Christ comes into me and gets digested by me and courses through my veins and enters into my heart, and I get transformed into his body. So that's the union that is already experienced sacramentally. It's not as full as it will be in the realized kingdom, but it's already here. Now, those three stages are not neat things that you can say, from these years I was in purgation, and then these year to this year I was in enlightenment. No, life is always sloppy, and we have starts and stops and failures and successes, and that's what confession is about. And so there's no clear line between those three things. Sometimes when we're heavily into the second or third phase, we still fall back into sin, and we need to purge ourselves of that sin. So they kind of elide into each other. Still, it's helpful to understand that basic pattern. So Jesus says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. One of the things that Jesus may have had in mind, and we kind of know about this, if a wolf gets caught in a trap, after so many hours of struggle, he will chew off that leg because he figures it's better to continue living with three legs than to die in this trap. It's a horrible way to look at it. But Jesus is kind of saying, you don't want to go to Gehenna. You don't want to lose your life. You're better off without some of your appendages than to go into Gehenna whole. But does your hand really cause you to sin? Does your foot cause you to sin? No, they really don't. It's your heart that causes you to sin. Jesus says on another occasion, these evil things, envy, anger, resentment, jealousy, strife, they don't come from outside. They come from within, from our heart. And the Old Testament prophets used to berate the Israelites for their unfaithfulness and said, you know, don't circumcise your bodies, circumcise your hearts. Sever, cut off those parts of your heart that are blocking you from God's love, that are impairing you from living the Christian life. And so here we are in our usual circumstance on a Sunday morning. We're celebrating in advance through Eucharist, through communion. We're celebrating sacramentally in advance that full unity that we know is our destiny and for which we long. And yet at the same time, we start out with a penitential rite, recalling that we are sinners, recalling that we need God's mercy and love. That opening prayer said, God, you show your power most beautifully in forgiveness and mercy. And so in the ways that we need to purge yet, in the ways that we are aware of our sinfulness, we trust in God's mercy. We come here not because we are deluding ourselves into thinking that we are into the unification completely already. We come here humbly, trusting in God's mercy, and then receiving that union, not so much because we deserve it, but simply because God loves us.